Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad to have you listening. So today, we do this about once a month. It's called Songs and Verses, and if you listen often enough, you notice that every day at the beginning of the show, I ask my guests if there's a verse that God's been speaking to them about these days, and it always turns into this amazing devotional experience. And a lot of you have let me know how much you love that. So we thought, well, you know, we know you are someone of the Word. You're in the Word. So we're going to devote a monthly show to you and the verses that God's been speaking to you about and the songs that God has been using in your life. It's amazing, the ministry and the power of music. And so, on your mark, get set, give me a call. And if you're driving and you don't know the exact reference of the passage that's been speaking to you, God's been using in your life, that's okay. Just tell Grace the gist of it and we'll look it up, all right? Or if there's a song that's just been ministering to you, love to hear from you. Here's the number, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. That's a toll-free call. Or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. We have pastors Peter and Carolyn Haas in studio. They're the founders of the Substance Church that's here in the Twin Cities. I know we've got listeners from around the country, but if you happen to be in the Twin Cities and you're looking for a church, you got to go there. It is a happening place. My son attends and is just growing by leaps and bounds. I love these two so much. Peter's written a number of books, but this one we're talking about today is Broken Escalator. So I asked you both, and you're doing extra credit now because you weren't scheduled to stay over to the second hour. I appreciate that so much. There's a great reward in heaven for this. I'm just saying.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. I can't wait.
Is that presumptuous of me to
I can't wait.
Speaking on behalf of God here. But okay, so Carolyn, I know you're a woman who loves God's word and you love music.
Yes.
Talk to us about the song you chose.
Yeah, so I chose the song Miracles. It's off the new Jesus Culture album, and which is Let It Echo. And it's just, I've literally been having that song on replay all, like, for the last 2 weeks. And part of it is because God has been speaking to me out of Mark chapter 6. And the context of Mark 6 in that, it's a beautiful chapter. So read it, look at Mark chapter 6. But in it, John the Baptist is just beheaded, and he's Jesus' cousin, one of his best friends. And it was traumatic, and Jesus is upset. And so what he does is he tells his disciples, hey, let's go away. Let's go to a retreat, and let's rest. And so they go on their way, but the people in the crowd see where Jesus is going. And so they get faster transportation, and they get there before him. And I can only imagine, like, you're grieving, you're tired, you legitimately need rest and processing. I mean, they just had to process. But all of a sudden, when Jesus says, when they arrived at their destination, there was thousands of people. And Jesus looked at the crowds, and it says he had compassion on them. And I think about the disciples, and I think at that moment, they were, yay, a retreat. We get away with Jesus. We get to rest. They were not thinking a conference with thousands of people that we have to, that are needy and that, you know, are hurting and broken and sick. But Jesus has compassion, and he heals, and he teaches. And this is the crazy miracle where literally they feed the 5,000. And so it's what's interesting is the disciples didn't go into their day thinking about, we're going to feed 5 to 20,000 people today. And often I think about my own life and I think I go into life already aware of the needs and like, I'm trusting God for this, this, and this. And so as I've been meditating on this passage, I've been thinking, I want to go into my day knowing that there could be surprise miracles. There could be surprise environments where Jesus altered his plans because of compassion. And he altered his plans and changed everything up and then kind of threw it on the disciples and said, you know, and of course I love how the disciples were very strategic and planning and they're going, Jesus, they counted all the people and went, there's too many people. We don't have enough food. It's getting late. Send them away. Their response was not care for people. It was, my needs, I've got need to rest, I need to grieve, send the people away. And Jesus looks at them and goes, no, you feed them. And then what do? They go find one lunch. And okay, let's just be honest, there's 5,000 men plus women and children. They only found one lunch. Okay, I don't think they look very hard. Just being honest. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I never thought of that.
And so, you know, if I was Jesus, I'd kind of be like, you punk. Like, you only found one lunch. Okay, but Jesus did not respond as I would have. Instead, he looked at that, smiled at them, and told them to put people in groups of 50, 100, you know, but didn't tell them what he was going to do. And I just think, again, you know, we want the whole plan. We want to know everything. And so can you imagine the disciples telling people to sit in groups of 50 and 100? And they're going, why? Why? What's going on? What are you doing? And they're like, I don't know. Jesus just said so. You know, and it's like, okay, so then fast forward. Jesus prays over the food, multiplies it. It says 5,000 men plus women and children. They not only ate, but it said they had plenty. Like, they ate all that they wanted. So we're talking massive buffet here. You know, like, I think of Fogo de Chao. You know, like, really good food, you know. And then there's leftovers, which, that's pretty profound. There was 12 baskets left over, which means Jesus, very strategic. You know, he's going, I'm revealing something to you about myself. Okay. But this is where it gets really strategic in the story. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus sends the disciples into the boat. And then he goes up to pray. And in the middle of the night, he looks and he can see that the disciples are striving and there's wind and there's waves. And so he just starts walking on water. And it literally says Jesus was going to walk right by them. But they're terrified. They think he's a ghost. And then he's like, hey, it's me. Don't be worried. And he comes into the boat. He calms the wind and waves. And it says they were amazed. But listen, it says this is Mark 6, 51 and 52. Then they were amazed, for they still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves. Their hearts were too hard to take it in. That's the verse I've been meditating on and going, whoa. Because they didn't understand the miracle of the loaves and fishes, they couldn't understand that God wanted to calm the winds and the waves. And I feel like what God's been asking me to meditate on the last couple of weeks is, Carolyn, what miracles have I done in your life that you're still not understanding and your heart is hard, and therefore in the next situation that you're in, you're stressed out and freaking out and straining at the oars because you still didn't understand what I did the last time. And so my prayer, and even listening to that song, Miracles, has just been, Lord, are there areas that I'm not allowing your miracles and the significance of them to sink into my heart? Are there areas where my heart is hard, where I'm operating in fear and in striving and in straining versus faith, where I'm not truly understanding who Jesus is?
I have Holy Spirit goosebumps from the top of my head to the tip of my toe. You should have seen what Peter just did to his wife.
She's sizzling.
Telling you what. Yeah, you guys go get a room. Let's play a song. Let's play
All
this
right,
song.
Then.
Let's play this song from Jesus Culture, Miracles. That was fantastic. Thank you, dear. Carolyn Haas made such an important point that I think was for many of us today. Are our hearts hard about some of the things God has done in the past? You know, one of the reasons I think Scripture says to remember what God has done is so that we remember we have a history with God, so that we know that we have a present with Him and a future with Him. And as Carolyn was saying, how do we discern what He's doing in our midst? How do we get a vision for where He wants to take us if we're missing the significance of what He's already done? Such an important word. I think that is the word of the day. Well, this hour we're doing songs and verses. Love to hear from you if you've got a song or a passage. Give me a call, 877-93-FAITH, or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. When we come back, we'll hear Pastor Peter Haas's song and let him set it up. And I'd love to see him even come close to what his wife has just done. I'm just totally kidding. A little competition here. I'm just kidding you. But we're having a great time celebrating who God is. He loves you, and in His presence, the fullness of joy is found. You're having a great day today. We sure are. This is The Promise. I'm Susie Larson. So honored and blessed to have Pastors Peter and Carolyn Haas in studio with us. Peter's written a couple of books, maybe three books, I think. Either way, he's written books. This one we're talking about today is Broken Escalators, talking about not focusing on promotion, but on promotability. And we, if you just tuned in the first hour, we spent the whole hour unpacking that content, and just so full of promise and such challenge for us to submit to the timing of the Lord and trust Him with our dreams and our hopes. This hour, we're focusing on songs and verses, just verses from Scripture that are speaking to us and songs that are ministering to our hearts. And Peter, you chose a song from Amanda Cook, and I'm embarrassed to say I don't know her.
She's amazing.
Really?
Well, she's from Bethel. So okay. She's on the Bethel worship
Got
team.
But it's okay, her, and I know Bethel music. Okay.
Yeah. She's one of the Bethel girls.
Fantastic. Tell me about the song.
Well, you know, it's called Never See the End, and it's off of her new album, Brave New World, which is totally awesome. And I'm a songwriter, and I don't say that about any albums, okay? So just when I say it about an album, it's really good. But really, the song, Never See the End, it's really all about, it's based off of Ephesians 3:20. And it's where Paul prays, now to him, God, who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask. Like he actually, earlier on, he says, I pray that you may have power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of God, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. There are people out there that are not filled to the measure. There are Christians out there that aren't grasping it, and understandably so. Paul actually says, I pray that you may have power to grasp it. It's that big. And that's why he says, now to him, to God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. Now, you know, when I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm reading the Apostle Paul, I just totally space out and it means nothing to me. Like, I don't know if you've ever had that. We're like, what did I just read? I'm a chapter deep into the book, and I, like, don't remember any of it. Now, if you're out there and you kind of feel that way, don't worry. Even pastors feel that way. And it's part of it is because when you translate Paul, it's really kind of, he says really deep things, and they just translate it as one never-ending run-on sentence. Mm-hmm. But just really meditate on that. What Paul's basically saying is three things. He's saying, He loves us far more than we know, okay? It's wide, it's long, it's deep. I mean, so He loves us more than we know. And some of you are out there and you actually don't really know how deep God's love is for you. And that, number two, the second thing we learned is that His love is so big that it takes power to even grasp it. That's why Paul's praying. It's so big and mysterious. You can't even mentally grasp it. It takes power. It's like asking an insect to understand rocket science. For many of us, that's how it is. That's why you actually have to pray for the power to grasp it. Okay. And so, Lord, give us that power. But number three, that he's able to do more than we can imagine. I don't know about you, but I can imagine a lot.
Yeah, when I thought that when I read that.
When I imagine blessing myself, man, I can imagine a lot.
The sky's the limit,
yeah,
right?
I'm just saying. I can imagine a lot. And the Bible is actually saying that my imagination is so wimpy next to God's imagination.
So good, right?
That, you know, it kind of begs the question, what would you trust God for if nothing was off limits? I mean, really, what would you trust God for if nothing was off limits? Now, just yesterday, I had a miracle that literally is so big that it changes my entire year. And I can't share it on the radio right now, but it's so big. I'm still numb. I literally don't even know what to think. God just did a miracle. And it's life altering. And I'm kind of like still a little bit numb, but I'm freshly reminded that God is that big. Mm-hmm. He's that big. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're out there today and you're just like, you're lacking that joy, lacking that peace. What if tomorrow God had that kind of life altering miracle for you? Well, listen, I want to just pray that you would have that power to grasp his love for you today, that you could live at rest today knowing that your life is secure in the hands of an almighty loving Father. The God who created the universe is the God who wants to call you his son or daughter. Would you believe that today?
Such a good word. Another part of that passage, according to his work within you. And you know, the truth of the matter is you've experienced lots of smaller miracles over the journey because you've given God access to your character, Peter. And don't you think that's part of the clincher of this verse is he wants to, he can do according to his work within you. But that's where we get hung up and get stuck is where, will we listen and heed the voice when he's calling us up, correcting and redirecting? You've been teachable. I just think that's why you're blessable. I mean, I really think that's part of it, isn't
it? Well, I remember even when God was calling me to trust him with our finances. God called us to tithe, to give 10%, and we did it, and it was the scariest thing I'd ever done. And then the Lord would call us to the next level. Hey, would you trust me with 15% of your income? Would you trust me with 20? Would you trust me with 25% of your income? And God would continually bless me back in a way that just didn't make sense. But a few years ago, the Lord actually, we were praying. We were expanding one of our campuses at Substance, and we were just asking how much did the Lord want us to give. And as we were praying about it, I felt like the Holy Spirit said, empty your bank accounts. I want you to give it all. Like empty everything, just everything.
Wow. And I do say sometimes faith brings on a little nausea.
Like my first thought was, is that really you, God? And I thought, no, wait, is that God? That has to be the devil. You know what I mean? And then I started thinking, why would the devil want me to give more money to the gospel? And then I thought, well, maybe it's my overactive imagination. Maybe instead of I want you to give it all, maybe the Lord was saying, I want you to go to the mall. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I wasn't hearing correctly. Maybe
we do like to shop.
Yeah,
is that you?
It could be. It could be. And I'm literally just like, I'm freaking out. My hands were shaking. And my wife said, well, how much do you think we should give? And she saw the smile on my face and she didn't even let me finish. She said, I think we're supposed to empty our bank accounts and give it all. And we looked at each other. But you have to understand, we had been saving for a new house for over 5 years.
Whoa.
And we had, and I'm thinking, I'd never given away that much money before. And I'm not going to lie to you. It was hard. When we called up our financial guy and said, empty our mutual funds. And, you know, at first he didn't like, why? Like, what's going on? Do you have a gambling problem? You know, like, and, you know, I guess I kind of do. I'm gambling on God that he's going to come through. And, you know, and I knew that even when we gave away that money, it was going to be 5-10 years before we could save enough money to even move into a new house. But I'm telling you, guess what? The moment we did that, we didn't even tell a soul that we did it. The moment we did that, our church income almost immediately bumped up by almost $25,000 a week, over $1 million a year, out of nowhere. And it was like that verse, given it will be given unto you. It's almost like God was saying, test me in this to see if I'm bigger than you. I can do immeasurably more than all you could ask or imagine. If you'd be willing to dare and take my promises if you take me at my word, God shows up in bigger ways. And I think sometimes we just don't accept the challenge. God has skyscraper promises all throughout his word. And if we would just dare to take those steps of faith, God, and guess what? Not only did God provide for our church, God spoke to somebody and they came up to us and gave us, the Lord spoke to them to give us money for a down payment on a new house. And we ended up in a new house in that next year. Like, it didn't even make sense. That was the biggest year. All of a sudden, I got a book publishing deal out of nowhere. I got more came into my life than ever in all of those previous years up until that point. And I believe it was because God was just saying, dare to trust me. Dare that I'm bigger than you. Dare to dream bigger dreams and take me at my word. And I believe God wants to do that with all of us. It's just a matter of understanding how deep, how wide, just how big his love is.
Fantastic. And it's like, you know, one of the reasons that God invited you to take such a flying leap of faith is because you both have a vision that's bigger than you are. You're saying, Lord, I want to be pulled out of the smaller story and I want to be a part of the bigger kingdom story.
He
says, oh, yeah, empty those accounts. And there's that little in between time, isn't there, where you're taking a flying leap of faith where, you know what I mean? Where there's like, I hope this works. But I mean, amazing. It's just absolutely amazing. Wow. Thank you for sharing that story. So good. And I know Carolyn has to go pick up kids, but when we come back, we'll hear Peter's song by Amanda Cook, Never See the End. In fact, I think you're just starting to set that song up. I think you got a little more to say. You got more in you, right?
I know
you type fast. I've heard that. Well, with Peter and Carolyn Haas when we return. Tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. You know, every day before the show, we pray. We ask God, you know, here we've made our plans, but Lord, you determine our steps. And we commit the show to the Lord and we just see where he leads. And today's one of those times where he's just intervened and taken us on a route that is his for us. And we've got Peter and Carolyn Haas in studio. They joined us first hour to unpack the content from Peter's great book, Broken Escalators. But before the break, you told a story, Peter, of a time when you've been saving for 5 years for a house, and you were also moving into, I think, a campus expansion through Substance Church. Mm-hmm. And excuse me, for those who just tuned in, the Lord whispered to your heart, empty your accounts and put it into the church, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for those who didn't hear the outcome, you took this flying leap of faith, and I asked you, did you feel nauseous? Did you feel afraid? Did you need a bucket? I mean, what happened after?
Well, you know, when the Lord told us to empty the bank accounts, I didn't realize that there would be a grieving process.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had to grieve all of these dreams that we were living in a tiny house and almost weird. Like, people would think, you know, people would assume that as senior pastors, we made more money, but we lived in a very conservative house. In fact, all five of our family members used the same small bathroom sink. And when three of the five family members are women, you know what I'm saying? That matters. Let's be honest.
That's the thing.
Yeah. And so, you know, for years I was like, oh, I hate this house. I just want to get to a new house. And so when the Lord called us to empty our bank accounts, I knew, oh man, it's going to take us years just to, you know, get a emergency fund built back up, let alone have the money for a new down payment on a house. And I was so depressed, actually. And that's probably why the Lord said, empty your bank accounts, because God was like, trust me with this. And, you know, there's always a delay between promise and power, isn't there?
Amen. Yes.
There's always a delay. But really what you do in the middle of that delay is you praise him. And I remember
we invited our kids into it. So we actually brought our kids into it because they were old enough to know that we were saving up for a new house. And so we said, listen, you know, mom and dad, we heard from the Lord, but we want you to know this is what we're doing. And so they kind of had that wide-eyed look like, okay, this is a big deal.
Wow.
But we wanted them to be not just we make decisions, but we're a family and we're trusting God as a family. So, okay, can I
explain? So we made this decision. We emptied our bank accounts. And there were all sorts of things that I had not thought through. Like, what are we going to do now we can't take a vacation. And all of a sudden, I realized my snowblower broke. And I can't even afford a new snowblower. And we had this ranch house on a corner that had two driveways and a sidewalk. Okay, so I kept thinking, oh no, I'm literally going to have to shovel the entire winter. And, you know, come on, this is Minnesota. We can get 8 feet of snow.
Yeah, it's not a small thing, right?
Yeah, right. A snowblower is not a luxury, right? Mm-hmm. This is a necessity, especially when you have two driveways. And I remember thinking, oh, no, I can't have a snowblower. And, of course, you know, right after you give all that money away, all of a sudden you see snowblowers for sale everywhere. I was so frustrated. I was at a hardware store, and they had the reddest, shiniest, most gorgeous snowblower
not
for
to
sale.
Be yours.
Yeah, I mean, angels were ascending and descending from heaven over this thing, and I remember just being angry. Like, what did I do? And I remember thinking all day long, I made a mistake. I was overzealous. I was being hyper spiritual, and I got caught up in the emotion of the moment, and I thought it was God, but it was really just my creative imagination. And I remember I had to be at a service that night, and the entire time at a church service that somebody had invited me to, and the entire time I was at church, I couldn't even worship because all I kept thinking was, I made a huge mistake. I don't even know what I was thinking. And I was not from that church. I was just visiting that church. And literally in the middle of the service, the guy who was speaking, he stopped and he pointed me out in the audience. And he said, I know this is strange, but the Lord just spoke to me that you have answered God's call to produce wealth, and he's going to open up doors of opportunity for you because you obeyed. And he had no idea who I was or what I just did or that I was whining to God the entire church service that I made a mistake. And he was saying, you didn't make a mistake. You answered God's call to produce wealth. And I remember thinking, I looked at my wife and I'm like, that was the coolest thing I've ever experienced. Okay, and no lie, as I was walking out of church that night, I get a phone call from a couple in our church that I never met before. And they said, Pastor, I know this is really weird. We got your number from so-and-so, but the reason I'm calling is because the Lord just put it on our heart that we were supposed to buy you a snowblower.
And
we were wondering if we could drop it off at your house tonight. They had no idea that I needed a snowblower. Nobody had ever said. And literally that night, they were unloading the snowblower, and it was the biggest, reddest, shiny snowblower that I'd just seen earlier.
Oh, it was the one?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. The one with the angels?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, yeah. So now when I fire that puppy up, man, I have a prayer service.
It's divine.
Every single time, I just want to worship God. But I realized that God does that. That's how God works.
Yeah.
And God orchestrated a series of miracles just like that. I wouldn't even have enough time to tell you how many financial miracles occurred after I walked in obedience. And that's why I think about these verses like Ephesians 3:20 that says God is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine if we would just dare to trust him and praise in that break between promise and power. God is going to show up. And I think that's why I love the Amanda Cook song, Never See the End, because she's singing about how deep, how wide, how great the love of God is. And I think we just need to internalize that God wants to bless us even more than we want to bless ourselves. And if we could just take him at his word and believe his love is huge, God's going to be able to show up in our lives with all sorts of miracles.
He's the same today, yesterday, and always. And Peter and Carolyn, I can't thank you enough for what you're doing for the kingdom. Stay encouraged, because what God is doing in and through you is absolutely amazing. Until next month, we look forward to your time again. Bless you both. Here's the song.
Beyond the end and the beginning, you have been and you will be. Who in all the world is like you? Still you are faultless in your very
It is Songs and Verses today. We've had a fantastic conversation with Pastors Peter and Carolyn Haas, playing songs that speak to your soul. Maybe you've got a fresh, precious song that's just been ministering life to you, or you've got a verse. You can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Got a godly girl, Alicia Penn, sitting in the studio as well. And then after the break, she'll set up the song that's a blessing to her these days. I want to read this from Streams in the Desert. And I just think if you heard what Peter and Carolyn had to say, I pray that that just put fire in your soul, because our God is the same yesterday, today, and always. And the same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to us. And that enemy baits us into a busyness. It just drains us because he doesn't want us for a moment to understand who God is and who we are because of him. Because if we stop and we invite, as Carolyn said, God's presence into our circumstances, his promises into our problems, really, truly, we will see God's kingdom come and his will be done right in our midst, in our situation, in our circumstances. And this is from Streams in the Desert. He can take an individual or a nation who has all the weakness of a worm, and through the energizing work of his own spirit, endow that person or nation with strength enough to make a profound mark upon the history of their time. Therefore, a worm may take heart. Almighty God can make us stronger than our circumstances and can turn each situation to our good. In God's strength, we can make them all pay tribute to our soul. We can even take the darkest disappointment, break it open, and discover a precious jewel of grace inside. When God gives us an iron will, we can cut through difficulties just as an iron plowshare cuts through the hardest soil. As he said in the above verse, I will make you a threshing floor. Will he not do this for you? Christ is building his kingdom with the broken things of earth. People desire only the strong, successful, victorious, and unbroken things in life to build their kingdoms. But God is the God of the unsuccessful, the God of those who have failed. Heaven is being filled with earth's broken lives, and there's no bruised reed that Christ's love cannot take to restore to a glorious place of blessing and beauty. We're going to pause here and take a break. When we come back, love to take your calls and your emails on the songs that have been ministering to you these days. I've got a whole list, but mine are on the back burner because I want to hear from you first, all right? 877-933-2484 or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. Back in a moment. Larson, this is Live the Promise. We just had Pastors Peter and Carolyn Haas in studio, and Carolyn has said something that's still ringing in my heart and in my ears, and she was talking about a passage where Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fishes, 5,000, 10, 15,000, because it was men, women, and children. And then when Jesus was walking on the water, there was a storm. The disciples thought they saw a ghost. And one of the things that Jesus had said, this is my paraphrase, but that he'd said, your hearts are hardened, right? You don't understand the significance of what just happened with the loaves and the fishes. So you're not understanding and discerning what's before you now in this miracle. And she was saying how often we minimize or don't understand what God has done, so we can't see what God is doing. And so my challenge to you and to me is to maybe take some time in the next few days to sit before God to say, is there something that I have rushed right by, Lord? Is there something you've done in my life that I winked at, I looked at, but I gave a passing glance to that was actually a significant miracle of provision in my life? Because for me to see what you're doing right now, I have to see what you did back then. I challenge you to get with the Lord and ask him, have I bypassed, have I rushed past something you've done, Lord? I want to see, because you put a lot of thought into getting these answers to me. And I want to put a lot of thought into thinking about how significant they are so I don't miss you in the present. What a powerful word. We've got Troy checking in from Fargo. Hey, Troy, how are you today?
Hi there.
Hi.
Susie, it's so good to talk with you. You're such a great inspiration. I appreciate your show so much.
Oh, thank you so much. Do you have a passage or a song for us today?
Yes, a passage. So the last few days, I've been thinking a lot about Romans 1:16. I don't have it right in front of me. But so the thing that I'd like to say is that the prince of this world, he's so trying to convince the church to bend towards culture and try to adopt the trendy cultural things that are so much in the news and the issues today. And Paul in Romans 1:16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation to all who believe.
Powerful.
And so what I saw in that was Paul saying, I'm not ashamed because I know this is the truth, and the truth gives people healing and salvation, and it restores marriages and families. And if you look a little bit further in Romans, it shows a society that rejects truth, and I can't paraphrase that off the top of my head, but and just a little bit down in the chapter, it's talking about these people that refuse to admit who God is and refuse to accept the truth, and it just disintegrates society. And so he said, I'm not ashamed of the truth because I know it heals people and it restores people.
Such a good word, Troy. It's such a good word. In fact, one of the songs I'd chosen for the songs and verses was off of Casting Crowns' brand new live worship album. And Mark Hall, the lead singer, said almost exactly what you just said. And I think we're going to play just a portion of that, Troy. Thank you so much for calling today. And you're exactly right, because we can't be ashamed of the gospel. It is the power to save men's souls. I think that, too, is a word for the hour. Thanks for calling today.
Thank you.
Let's hear what Mark Hall had to say when he was talking about Jesus, friend of sinners.
You know, before we do this next song, remember last week, we talked about the woman at the well. We went into John 4. We talked about this lady who went to great lengths to stay away from people because everybody knew her because of her junk in her life, right? And then she meets Jesus, who calls her on it. And then right after meeting Jesus, we read those verses that said she dropped her bucket at the well and she ran down to the town and said, come see a man who told me everything I've ever done. There's a lot of things about that that stuck out to us last week. And one of those is, these are the people that already know her business, that she's been trying to stay away from. But she's running to them to say, come see a guy who just told me all of my dirty laundry. And we chewed on those verses. And what we started seeing is that what she was saying was that, come see a man who told me everything I've ever done, and it's okay. He knows all of it, and it's okay. He loves me like I am now. We talked about how you can come to Jesus like you are. But when we get out into the world today, we've got this idea that to love people like Jesus means you can't tell them anything that might threaten them. You can't offend people. We don't want to get into anyone's business. But I'll just show you this. Everything that Jesus ever said or did was totally against modern culture. But everything that Jesus ever said or did was totally for people. What he showed us is that you can love people with truth. As a matter of fact, it's impossible to love anyone without it. But we live in a time where we love our friendship more than we love our friend. We don't want to threaten this thing that we've got, this great hang that we've got, by telling them they might be running off a cliff soon. So we stay away because we don't want to judge anybody. When we look at Scripture, we see you can love people with truth. The song that we want to share with you guys now has been misunderstood sometimes by people and thinking that Jesus was a friend to sinners, meaning that he didn't care what they did. He cared what they did. He died for what they did. Jesus never felt the pleasure of sin, only the pain of it, all of it. So he knows what sin does. But he was a friend to them, and he met them where they were. That's why he was a friend to sinners. Jesus, friend of sinners, we have strayed so far away. We've cut down people in your name, but the sword was never ours to swing. Jesus, friend of sinners, the truth's become so hard to see. The world is on their way to you, but they're tripping over me. Always looking around but never looking up. I'm so double-minded. Oh,
clink at sync with dirty hands and a heart divided. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors.
We're going to try to squeeze one more song in. I said I've got a godly girl in studio with me, Alicia Penn, and you've got a song, Alicia, you'd love for us to hear.
Yes. So I chose Resurrecting by Elevation Worship. And this song I actually heard for the first time this past Easter. I was able to go to two different churches and heard it at both places, and just ever since then I've had it on repeat constantly. It's one of those songs that every time I hear it, no matter where I am, I just feel God's presence. I can be in the car, I can be getting ready in the morning, sitting at work. I just always, every time I play it, there's just something about it that just brings God's presence. But real quick, I just want to read the lyrics to the bridge. It's, by your spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. And I love that. Every time I hear that part of the song, there's just a peace and a comfort that comes in knowing that God's resurrecting power is alive and it's working in my life.
The resurrected King is resurrecting me. Let's listen to a portion of that song as we're getting ready to wrap today.
The head that once was crowned with, is crowned with glory now. The Savior knelt to wash our feet. Now at His feet we bow. The one who wore our sin and shame, now robed in majesty. The radiance of perfect love now shines for all to see.
Father, thank you for this time. Thank you that we have access to the inner courts of your throne room and that your promises are yes and amen to us. And Lord, your spirit is alive in us and we are sealed for the day of redemption. May we live in a manner worthy of your name, manner worthy of the call of God on our lives. Help us, Lord, whatever we're facing right now, to attach your promises to our problems, to walk in your presence as we live here on earth. Lord, we are free for a reason, for a purpose. Mobilize us in this important day. We love you, Lord, in your name. I love it when God interrupts our plans. This show went a totally different direction than I thought it would, and it was fantastic. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's show on our website at myfaithradio.com. Walk intimately with the Lord. Be much with Him. He'll do great things in and through you.